What's up, listeners? It's me, Rob, here from the Bill and Rob's An Excellent Adventure podcast. As you know, 90% of our episodes are all behind our premium paywall at patreon.com/billandrobs, as well as the Pumpkin Spice podcast episodes. Now, here's the thing. You don't need to support the show, but if you want more, I would love for you all to head over there. I am giving you another taste of some of the episodes behind that paywall here with this intro. And of course, you'll probably hear this intro before the next couple of free tastes as well, because I would like you to check out our series from a few months back called Sibling Rivalry. So I'm going to release a handful of those episodes to help entice you to join the Bill and Rob's world over at patreon.com/billandrobs. Please join in, please share with a friend, and please give us suggestions of movies and series you'd like us to cover. So join us over at Bill and Rob's An Excellent Adventure Premium, where you can get every single episode of Bill and Rob's, all of our video episodes, every episode of Pumpkin Spice Podcast, and every other little tidbit we like to throw over there. That's patreon.com/billandrobs.
Welcome to Bill and Rob's An Excellent Adventure. I'm Bill Tilley.
I am Rob Schulte. Bill, this is an interesting episode. It's a good episode. I mean, we're only 10 seconds in and I'm calling it good episode.
he's pointed to the stands. He's called his shot.
I'm there. Something about this film got my gears moving. You know, we'll rate it towards the end, but this is a Frank Stallone movie for sure. This is, I'm glad you chose it. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah. This is the kind of movie I seek out when we started this project overall. This is that kind of movie that you look at it, you've heard maybe a little bit about it here and there. It's this one of those movies that people talk about in certain realms of movie genres. And it's like, oh, okay. And so you have to look. You just have to. And it's a payoff movie. It's the good, bad mix that I was seeking. And I was really seeking for this particular series. So I am all ready to talk about this. I'm just, I can't even calm down, Rob.
It's Savage Harper, a.k.a. Death Feud, although it seems like the agreed upon verbiage is Savage Harper.
It is. I think it much better encapsulates the movie just because there is a harbor and and savage things happen. I don't see
a few seamen are on it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, sometimes you're going to get semen on your stuff. It's just the way it happens when you're watching movies. But there's not a lot of death.
It's me, Bill Clinton. I love this movie.
Oh, that would have been the dress shop in Terror in Beverly Hills. All the blue dresses are destroyed.
Speaking of, like, I do feel like I love that this was chosen by you, Bill, because like we got cheated in Terror in Beverly Hills.
We
talked about it on the episode, but not enough Frank.
No, not nearly enough Frank Stallone in that movie. And this is definitely makes up for the shortcomings of Terror in Beverly Hills. You get a dose of Frank. You get a double dose of Frank by the time this thing's all done.
Yes. Should I read the back of the box?
Absolutely. Let our friends out there know what this movie's all about.
So this is Savage Harbor from 1987. And let me flip this box around. Here we go. Merchant seaman Joe, Frank Stallone, spends 48 hours of lust and passion with the girl of his dreams. But someone else wants to possess Joe's girl, Anne. Harry Kane, the harbor's seedy pimp. When Harry's gang kidnaps Anne, Joe decides not to get mad. He decides to get even. With the assistance of his lifelong friend, Billy, Chris Mitchum, Joe goes out to save Anne from the drug-peddling pimp, leading to an all-action finale, the likes of which have rarely been seen on screen. That I agree with.
That's exactly true. The back of this box has very little in the realm of misleading information on it.
Yes. The type of action sequence we get at this end of this film has rarely been seen on screen.
Yes. True. I haven't seen one since. It comes close.
Yeah, that is the truth.
And I will be actively looking after this because yes. I wasn't before. And now I am.
Put out your field notes notebook and get your pen because we need to be making notes on this.
Oh, yeah. My Google search IMDb cross algorithm is going to be a mess after the end of this movie.
Bill, we've got two siblings in this movie. Frank Stallone, of course, brother of Sly. And Chris Mitchum, who plays Billy, is the brother of James Mitchum. Mm-hmm. And they're both the son of Robert Mitchum.
Legendary actor, Robert Mitchum.
James Mitchum, legendary brother, also an actor.
Uh-huh.
In movies that seem to be as popular as Savage Harbor.
I'm really of the opinion now, as we come to the end of this series, that there is absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Not at all. Not at all. Bill, this was, like I said, a lot of fun, great film. But before we get into our patented, you know, segments on this show, is there anything you want to say to the audience about this movie? About, I almost said Sly, but I meant Frank Stallone.
Yeah, I see your point. I would look at it this way, folks. You look at movies like this and, of course, you notice the name and then you notice that it is the brother or whatever. Don't let any of that fool you. Frank Stallone is a legend, even if you haven't heard from him. He's been in, made a ton of movies. He's a well-known musician. He's not a carbon copy of his brother. He does not ride his brother's coattails. He is his own man. He's made his own way. And he knows exactly who he is and what he does. And his earnestness is great. And it comes across in his movies as much as it can. He owns his B-movie star status. He has a good time with it. If you've watched interviews like I have about it, he can laugh about it. He's had a great time and he knows that people enjoy them for their badness and he's okay with it. So
yes,
all that's infused in this movie and it's just a crown jewel of how much fun a bad movie can be. I will tell you at the top of this is the first movie I watched. I also watched this movie with my wife, but also with her son. So it was my first kind of family together with more than one person. And we had a great time, a absolute great time. So this movie,
after this movie, your stepson called you father.
No, he told me he'd see me later and he laughed, but that's, I don't think he's going to go seeking out a bunch of these, but he got the, and he's young and he got the jokes. He got the humor, you know, it stands the test of time for absolute fun schlock movie. It's great. So put your expectations high when you watch this movie for things like that. I'm going to say it out loud. Don't set them low, set them high. And I don't think you're going to be disappointed.
Bill and I are not in agreement there, but I understand what you mean. I think that like, you don't have to set them at any, here's the thing. I know exactly what you mean, Bill. I'm not trying to knock you down a peg. I just feel like, it's sometimes it's okay just to watch a movie.
Uh-huh.
You know, sometimes it is okay to not have to, this is going to sound counterintuitive, Bill, to not have to have like an angle or a podcast or something like that about it. Like, and this is a movie made at a certain time for a certain budget with certain actors and certain writers and certain creators. And sometimes that's just what gets made, and that is okay.
Yeah.
You may not like it. You may not love it. You may not hate it. And that is the joy of some of these movies we watch.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, Bill, should we talk about the things that we, you know, discovered that were kind of like little fun facts?
For sure, Rob. I think I'd like to go first on this one.
Please.
So this, of course, is a low budget movie. And I found out that they shot this entire movie with no permits of any kind. So this is a true guerrilla film. And it was shot in San Pedro. So it's in the U.S. It's not a Philippine movie where you can just go away with murder. And apparently they did enough outdoor stuff and things that the cops were constantly coming to their action shoots and shutting them down and asking for permits, which the director would just say, well, he forgot them at home. And sometimes they would let them off, but most times they didn't. And this kept causing the shoot to go longer and longer and more problems to the point where towards the end, I guess it was just kind of chaos and the actors are just ad-libbing to get through the day and trying to get the film in the can, but they kept on swinging. So I think it's amazing, particularly with a movie that's got some car chases and some shootouts and a lot of stuff in public places that you probably want the cops to know that you're just kidding.
Yeah.
But yeah, they didn't. They went for it. And I'm glad that nobody actually wound up in jail over this thing.
You can still wish, you know. But I think on that note, you know, this is such a fly by the seat of the pants kind of film. I found out that Chris Mitchum was clashing with Carl Monson, the director, so much so that at one point, and this kind of shows you what Chris thinks of himself, "You only hired me because of my name." And Monson said, "No, I hired you because of your father's name."
Oh, that is such a burn.
Oh, yeah.
That's got to be. That's such a Hollywood burn when your family, you can't even get
over that. Especially when you're in Savage Harbor.
Yeah.
You know, like, we don't have permits. We all kind of know what we're making here. Frank Stallone's my co-star. Like, you don't really have much of a leg to stand on here, Chris.
No. No.
At all. What's another fun one, Bill?
Well, once this movie was over, at some point after that, Frank managed to get his hands on a copy of it, probably when it came out on VHS, because I'm sure he didn't get a complimentary copy. And he said he took it over to his brother Sylvester's house and they watched it together and they were laughing uncontrollably together watching this movie to the point where Sly said it was the worst movie he'd ever seen. He said, but we had such a good time watching it. It was just a great day of the two brothers just yucking it up over this film. So everybody was pretty much aware of what they'd done when it was all said and done. But even Sylvester got a laugh out of this movie. So that's got to be cool to hang out with your brother. And you're like, you know you've made this thing, but hey, he's just rolling on the floor with you. And good on Frank. Like I said, he's got a real grasp of what he's doing and he's okay with it.
Well, Bill, it just makes me think, like, you know, them Stallone brothers, they're just like us.
They are indeed, to the point where I wish, even now, I'd get them in a movie together.
Oh, man.
How could this not have happened? After seeing, 10 minutes of Terror in Beverly Hills and now watching Savage Harbor, how could this not? I mean, they were in Rocky together. Frank was been in the background. But I want them, you know, in an actual.
Like, you know, in a. Actively in a, yeah, both leading
a Delta
roles.
Force kind of thing, yeah. Or a Predator shoot up, even a comedy.
Sly's got that reality show now on Peacock or on Paramount Plus, even.
Oh.
I wonder if Frank shows up on it.
He very well could. They are very
It's called
tight
The Family Stallone.
Oh, he's got to be on there then.
I know it's like Sly's like inner sanctum family, but. We'll check it out, folks. If you want us to cover it on in the off season, just let us know. Bill, I got to say, my other fun fact is Chris Mitchum related. And it's only because I couldn't go this episode without bringing this up. He has written one movie. And I think we need to cover it at some point on this podcast. It's 1990's Angel of Fury.
I don't know what that is, but you won me at the title.
Well, if you click the link in our document, I think the VHS cover will also win you over. And
oh, dear.
Here's the thing. alternate name, Triple Cross. So not Double Cross. Oh, it's a Triple Cross.
This is a Cynthia Rothrock movie.
Yes.
Oh, well, hey, I have a special tab for, you know, lady action movies in our spreadsheet of the future, Rob. So
well,
this might be on it already.
A security specialist is hired to deliver a valuable computer. She is joined by her former lover who has plans of his own for the computer.
Well, that's riveting.
Yes. So it's on the, let's just say it's on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is great, Bill. I love starting off with like the best possible facts for this. The universe of this film.
I wish there were more. I really do. There's not a lot out there to research.
It's hard. This is a series where we're actually having to do a little bit of digging. Like,
yeah, and I would love to know more.
Yes, I want the commentary on this. If only there were some DVD I could watch that had special features.
Well, there actually is. There is one out there.
Okay.
But we'll talk about that later.
Okay. Should we talk about things that we liked?
I would love to talk about things that we like. I've been talking about nothing since I watched this thing to everybody who will listen. So let's get into that.
Well, I'll start this time. The pacing in this movie wasn't bad, you know, and I think that may sound like a backhanded compliment because there are some scenes that ran a bit slow. But the story actually kept moving fairly well in telling the story. And I think in comparison to other movies we've watched so far on this, I've said it before, some move faster or keep the pace better than others. But I feel like when you look at this movie as a whole, it's pretty low budget. And generally, you don't get a movie cut together in a way that works. And this doesn't linger on too many scenes. There isn't a lot of like weird filled in dialogue to fill time to make sure it hits an hour and a half or whatever. It's cut, it keeps moving, and it tells the story. And I liked that.
Yeah, I hard agree. Especially like you said, for other movies on this list that we've seen in this genre, it does. I noticed that too. I thought, well, it's moving along. And even the padding that is there, it's not in your face, weird, it doesn't come out of nowhere. Like, it all makes sense.
There's some weird scenes, but it makes sense.
There are some weird scenes, and there's some repeating of some story beats that go on and on, but it just kind of leads itself to, like, this is how Frank's character, Joe, is just, he's stuck in a circle trying to find this girl. So you kind of get it. But yeah, it didn't feel like a slog in any way, shape, or form. Nobody was running for the door. So I always appreciate that.
Yeah, and you know what I appreciate, Bill? Continuing to hear things you like about this movie.
Well, I'll tell you, I love the action in this movie. It is entertaining. It's low budget, and it's got its problems. We'll say that a lot, and it's just a given, but it's great to watch. Every action scene was fun. There are multiple car chases. There are shootouts. There are fist fights. It's not one of those movies where it doesn't pay off in that realm of giving you just a little bit of something. We've seen those movies where it's like, even just Terror in Beverly Hills, where, you know, 10 minutes of Frank Stallone, that's all we get, which after watching that was a fear of mine. Like, oh man, is this going to be, I know he's in it. And I know he's in this movie a lot, but how much action is there really going to be in this movie?
Yeah.
And there was a good bit of it, and it was all really great, even if it didn't all make a lot of sense and didn't all look too good. The gunfight at the end is a particular piece of cinema that I'm not going to forget anytime soon. But I was entertained through the whole way, and we were all pointing and having a good time with it.
Well, is it when Billy is drugged behind the truck? Is it Billy that's drugged? I think it's Billy.
No, that's third henchman. I don't remember his name.
Third henchman.
Yeah. And that is a epic drag.
Wild.
That goes on and on. And again, no permits. So
yeah, that's what I was saying.
And Rob, if I'm not mistaken, you might have to go back and look. We were watching it. I'm pretty sure there is a point where, and going around a corner, the stuntman slides into a parked car.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that happens.
And we all were like, oh, did we just watch a person die?
rest in peace, that stunt person who might also just be third henchman actor as well.
Yeah. Can you imagine? That's your epitaph, Savage Harbor. I hope not.
Well, Bill, another thing I liked in this movie that we haven't talked about already, the peacoats. And also just the costumes in general, sometimes the lack thereof, if you know what I mean. Hubba hubba. I think seeing Frank Stallone and Billy in those peacoats, because they're merchant seamans, is very funny. But also there was a time in my life where peacoats were all the rage at the hardcore shows.
Really?
And we'd go to the Goodwill, we'd find some dead person's Navy coat, and we'd all wear them to our live concerts in the winter. And then seeing Frank Stallone in a turtleneck as well, a white turtleneck, was something I won't forget. So I think just the costumes in general, the Christmas themed lingerie at a certain point, that was great. You know, there's a lot of thought put into this, and I liked it.
Yeah, there's a character in the movie, Roxy. She is a stripper at the local bar that Billy starts a relationship with. And I'm pretty sure that her Christmas stripper outfit is made from the same fuzzy kitchen magnets of Santa hats that we used to have on our refrigerator. So that was a strange flashback to have during that scene for me, but that's what popped into frame. And you know what? I'm glad that you mentioned the coat specifically, because I think Mitchum and Stallone look great in their outfits. They don't look wrong at all. They look like they could actually be the thing they say they are, which is awesome.
I mean, they totally pull it off for sure. Well, Bill, what else did you like about this?
I like that everyone in this movie is a character. And in our notes, I put character in quotation marks, because that no one is boring to watch, with the slight exception of Mitchum and Anthony Caruso as Harry the Pimp, because they come off a little flat sometimes.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's not terrible. We've seen much worse. But the henchmen in the movie all have a way they are. Everybody's got a thing about them that they carry through, and they're fun. And that makes a movie great, that like, all right, you know, no money aside, the actors have decided this is my character and this is how I'm going to play it. And we're just going to run with that. And for the most part, it works. And where it doesn't work, it's still not boring.
Yeah.
it's still pretty wild. Even like Thug Hank, our laughing henchman. We got one of him. You go, we've got just classic bad guy vibes coming off so many people. It's really a good time to watch. And they're fun to watch them do. Yeah. Whatever they've decided they need to do for these characters.
Yeah. And it does make you kind of wonder like what the motivation was sometimes, like, and do any of these like side characters have like, I just love imagining them having, you know, like an acting coach, right? Mm-hmm. They're all in Los Angeles. They're all trying to make it. And then you get laughing henchmen, or as I'm calling Gallagher henchman, or Buff Gallagher. Well,
yeah. And I'm wondering, you know, because finding out that they improv'd a lot, like, I'm guessing they all kind of made the most of it on their own, especially for Frank.
They all came from the Groundlings Theater.
It's very possible. And, you know, Frank, he's interesting. He kind of goes back and forth a little bit between, like, you know, slow talking, cool, grounded guy, and just manic energy. Like, there's a scene where he's looking for his girlfriend. He can't find her. And he screams her name on the sidewalk.
Oh, my God.
He screams, and it's so Streetcar Named Desire, Stella style. And it's just out of nowhere. But he lets it fly, and they do the long pullback over the city as it just echoes and echoes. I'm like, wow. Like
five times. It was great.
And I have to feel like they were just like, you know, hey, walk down the street and do something to show that you're upset. And that's what he pulled off. And it's great.
Well, I also love that it's not quite an echo. Like, it's obviously like different takes too.
Yeah.
Like, so he screamed that in character for the character. More, it wasn't like, okay, we're going to use one of these and echo it. Like, this guy is walking going,
And he's, you know, he's cool 1 minute, but as the final battle goes on, like, he gets completely unhinged in a way I think a normal person would if they went through that in real life. He's not like, you know, quip and cool like his brother or Schwarzenegger or any of that stuff we normally see. He makes a choice to take it in certain places, and it's really fun to watch him go.
I loved it. Bill, do you think we should talk about anything we disliked?
It's only fair. We can't put too much gloss on this movie without letting everybody know you're in for a few things that are gonna catch your attention, probably not in the best way, but
there are two sides to this coin. So do you want to start us off, Bill?
I will start off with my biggest one. And I hadn't looked at the back of the box until you read it when it talked about a 48-hour time period, because I'm telling you, the timeline of this movie is an absolute wreck. It is.
Remember, he also goes off on his boat for 6 months.
It is a chronologically challenged mash of just nothing. Like you said, there are scenes that take place 6 months apart. When the movie starts, they pull into harbor and it's Christmas, and Joe and Ann meet, and it looks like they have like five dates in the span of one night, and it goes through a couple of, and they have like eight costume changes.
Yeah.
And in that whole time, they manage to fall in love, get engaged, decide to be partners, sign their names on joint bank accounts, all while Billy and Roxy, who also meet at about the same time Joe and Ann do, they never leave the bar until they go back to her place. And then they do whatever. We're not quite clear what they do. We thought they slept together, but maybe they didn't. Not sure.
They just want to take it slow.
Yeah, and they're taking it slow. But this whole thing, they all happen at night. Like, it's always night for Billy. So does Billy just, do they stop talking when the daylight comes around so Joe can have his stuff? It makes no sense. None of us knew what was happening with time. And when they go back out on the ship, like you said, there's a thing that says 6 months later, they come back. It's still Christmas in Savage Harbor. What's going, what, how? Why?
Well, it was obviously when the movie starts, it's Christmas in July.
Oh, that's what it was. You know,
they're celebrating all the sales.
Oh. And
come back and it's officially Christmas.
Yeah. All right. So you fixed the movie for me in that sense. Definitely. Awesome.
Don't know why they'd be wearing a pea coat in California in July, but.
Well, you know, they say it's cool down by the water. So that's maybe that's true. What it is.
Those winds will pick up. That's
Roxy
for sure.
Never seems uncomfortable in her outfit, and it is very skimpy.
Also, I just want to say, in terms of the timeline, like just before Joe and Ann meet, there's the whole like shootout on the beach. Just that morning. So a lot has happened.
Yeah. Ann goes through a lot. Let's make it clear that Harry the pimp is apparently some kind of slaver of some point.
He's a human trafficker.
He's a human trafficker. And there's a deal that goes down that's Anne is apparently tied up with him, and she escapes him at that particular moment. And that's what gets the whole ball rolling with her meeting up with Joe. But it comes out of nowhere when you think, all right, this is the savage part of Savage Harbor. And no, we drop that whole human trafficking thing. And he stays a pimp for the rest of the movie, but it never circles back to any of that. It's just,
He just like keeps the employees, quote, that he has working, but we never go back to this like system of different countries that we are introduced to at the very beginning of this movie. Lots of ideas in this movie that don't seem to thread the needle very much.
Yeah. Lots of time that's just gone. I think it even affected Billy, because when they dock for the second time and they get off the boat after the title card says 6 months later, Billy looks at Joe and goes, "You've been talking about nothing but getting married for 8 months." It's like, whoa,
hang on.
What?
Billy, like, that's my Melrose Place impersonation.
That's gold.
Bill Tilly, I will tell you that when we were talking about the henchmen and stuff earlier, it's like one thing I didn't like is that, you know, going back to also this idea of the pimp, the villains don't really seem grounded, and I know that's a wild thing to say in a movie like Savage Harbor, but I just needed a little bit more believability. It was just kind of like they were bad to be bad, you know? Like Buff Gallagher was just kind of like, "Yeah, we did it, boss. We did it. I beat him up. I hit him in the face." It's like, why? What are you getting out of this, Buff Gallagher?
I don't know. He laughs that way like a maniacal cartoon villain through the entire movie.
And it's just like, I feel conflicted because that's kind of why we love these movies, is the silliness of it. But also, like, how they seem really dumb. Like, how are they doing like an international ring of horrible pimperdom if this is the people you're working with?
I don't know. They are quite a character. The only one I'd say that's exception to that is Gary Wood Slim. He's more their classic hardcore henchman guy. I mean, he's over the top.
Wants to be the boss, but isn't quite there yet.
Right. And he's clearly a tough guy, but he's the less theatrical of all of them. And every other major henchman that comes into play has theater in his blood. He clearly wanted to be in a different thing, but he wound up getting, you know, his theater scholarship scrapped. So he had to go and be in the white slave pimp protection trade.
Oh, Lord. Well, Bill, speaking of pimp trade, did you have any other dislikes?
Yeah, and it's kind of the same vein of when you talk about the henchmen needing to be a little more grounded. There is a limit, and I think this movie, for the most part, treads a nice line over B-movie, a little over the top, and then not at all registering as reality. And so Anne, played by Karen Mayo Chandler, who is Joe's girlfriend, after Harry finds her and he dopes her back up and puts her back into the prostitute trade, we see her a couple of times through the movie as she's in that state. And Anne's junkie moments, I can only describe as painful. Mm-hmm. She takes a track that I don't understand. When she's acting, she's spewing dialogue where she thinks she's talking to Joe, but it's all coming across as like a high school drama student who's been told they're the greatest, and to just keep going with that emotion and going. Like, she comes off as crazy more than a tortured woman who's, you know, been captured and she's doing this against her. I expect her to be strung out in that kind of character, but she makes no sense. And she just, her wide-eyed, big wide-eyed prattling of all this dialogue is just, it's manic, and it winds up being funny. We laughed. Yeah. And I don't think that's a thing that you want to laugh that much at in a movie like this. You could laugh a little bit because you're watching the background and the surroundings and stuff that's going on, but the minute that character kind of breaks over, which she does, into just no.
Into mirror world?
Yeah. This is like somebody came in and dropped your budget even farther.
Yeah.
And you've got like 4 minutes. Let's go. We got to shoot this scene. It's not great. It should be more, actually should be sad and serious, because that's what you're looking for in that vein. And we don't get it. She just takes it to giggling Joker-like qualities that aren't great.
No. The scene where she throws the stuff at the mirror does remind me of The Long Kiss Goodnight. But The Long Kiss Goodnight is kind of it done right.
Yeah, and I got to admit, super confused about that. We had to debate what was happening. Was it a dream sequence, which it clearly was, where she's having a dream conversation with her father? And I'm like, where does this come from? And I found out today that our copy that we watched is a rip of the VHS copy. Missing some scenes. And there's a scene where Joe meets her father in his search for her that explains a little more about that relationship, which we don't get.
Well, Bill, that might lead into one of my dislikes here, my other dislike, that I guess you hinted at earlier that maybe I will be in a better place, but I kind of wish we had like a remastered version of this movie or a director's cut or something. Like, don't get me wrong, we all love old VHS tapes. But something about this one made me be like, I need something more. And I don't know if that is high res or whatever, but like, it did feel like there was something missing.
And you're exactly right, because Vinegar Syndrome put out a Blu-ray version of this movie and gave it one of those super treatments, you know, of like Well, I don't know why this movie rated it, but that's what they specialize in, you know, these out of print or movies like that. And it's glorious. It looks amazing. I knew it existed, but it's very expensive. And our revenue stream didn't quite merit putting that on there yet. But, you know, it is what it is. I'm sure if people like it. But there's some commentary.
Hey, if anyone wants to send a self-addressed stamped envelope with their copy of Savage Harbor on
Blu-ray, we'll give it back.
Yeah, we will send it back. We just
need
a copy of it to watch.
Yeah, because there's a commentary. There's a little documentary by Frank talking more. It's exactly what we would like to see. And I've seen bits of the Blu-ray transfer, and it does look amazing. It's it's an amazing thing. So, yeah, at some point, I very much want to get my hands on this or at least get a chance to view it.
Yes, yes. Tell your friends, if they're not part of the Patreon, let's get them on the Patreon. So that's our first goal. Forget paying like hosting fees and trying to figure out what merch we're going to sell. Like, we need to get enough patrons so that we can buy this Blu-ray.
There you go. It's baby steps. Baby steps to Savage Harbor.
Yes. Well, Bill, I think we've covered our dislikes, the only dislikes in the movie.
Absolutely.
So I think we can cap this thing. Well, we'll cap it with our Five Nights for a Dollar, but we should talk about some amusing things.
It's going to be so hard because I so wanted to put 15 things on this list, and we limit ourselves because we don't want to spoil it for everybody. When we watch these movies, we want you to see some of this on your own, but trying to give you a couple of good ideas of what you're going to see from each of us was so tough.
Well, I'm going to keep mine short and sweet, I'll just give you both of them because I've already talked about the one. Laughing henchman Buff Gallagher.
Yes.
Right? Just a good character that every time he's on the screen, you're going to have something that you're going to go, what the hell? But, I mean, the whole sequence of Frank Stallone and Anne falling in love, and their kisses and their clothing. I already hinted at the turtleneck that Frank wears, but also there is a scene, Bill, where they're on one of their many dates, laying on couch cushions on the grass at one point.
All in the same day.
They go and eat at a restaurant, and outside they stand by a balcony for a split second, then move directly to the table. Don't know what that's about, but we get them kissing, but the camera directly changes to like some downward Dutch angle looking up at them, and the sun is between them, and the sun is like in your eyes if you were to be watching this, and you would think that it would cause some sort of like silhouette, but it doesn't because they're also still lit from the other side. And so you just get this really odd viewing of Frank and Anne kissing, Joe and Anne, I should say, kissing, where they're lit from all sides, but there's also just a blinding sun. And I have to think that all of this light is affecting the mood of the moment, because that looks like the most unsensual kiss I've ever seen.
So I know exactly what you're talking about. Coupled with the fact that both of them look like they're trying to eat the other one's lower lip, which is not good. I think they needed more practice kissing for some reason. I don't know where Frank was going, but you're right, Rob. It looks like a nuclear explosion happens in between. But I figured this out because we're watching it together with my wife. You know, she's close to my age, and we're looking at it, she's like, what the hell is this? What kind of montage is this? And I figured it out. I'm like, do you remember the sounds of the 70s record albums that we used to have? This is what the front of this looks like. It was always like super soft Vaseline filter silhouette with this gigantic light source blaring around, blowing everybody out of the frame. And I'm like, why are they doing this? This is 1987. Why would you do this 70s take on it? It is so bad.
Yeah.
It's so bad. But it is so hilarious because you're right, Rob. When they go in for that kiss, it is. Don't do this, everybody. When you watch this movie, don't take your going in for that first kiss lesson from Joe or no. Ian. This is no. how you don't do it.
You don't want to, don't be a Joe.
No. Go on 5 dates in the same day and change your clothes 8 times. That's fine.
Sure. Totally fine. Totally
don't kiss
fine.
Like that.
No. And like, the only thing that would make this better is if you did hear Guitar Man by Bread playing in the background.
I was thinking more Burt Bacharach, but yeah, hey, that would work too. Yeah. Sister Golden Hair by America. Yeah.
There sure. we go. Well, Bill, I gave you both of my amusing moments quickly. I'd love to hear some of yours.
Oh, man. This was so difficult. But and I managed to sneak another one in earlier with the Annie bits screaming from the heavens. So I'm gonna fess up to that. That was a plan. The beginning of this movie, as we said, there's a exchange going on the beach. Harry's up there. It's supposed to be, there's a rubber raft comes in, supposed to be bringing in some more ladies for his operation. And the raft gets overturned for some reason. They don't know how to work it. Like, it's a crash. I don't think yes. they meant to do it, but they just filmed it and they went, we got to use it. And they find out, I guess they're police. It's some kind of sting. We're not exactly sure what's going on.
Yeah, it's a little
but the ladies
tough.
Aren't where they're supposed to be. So bullets start flying. And at some point, the rubber dinghy gets shot. One of the men firing jumps into it for protection in a rubber raft and it catches fire and it explodes.
Yeah.
It explodes chip style. It goes up like a hydrogen bomb. And not only that, he's on fire in the boat and it trampoline shoots him into the air. It's the classic, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger commando over the hedges move. And I'm like, the hell did they fill this dinghy with? Is
no
it filled
kidding.
With napalm? It's I love it. I miss the unreality of the fact that back in the day, anything that had a motor and fuel in it in California is instantly an atomic level of danger when it comes yep. to bullets.
Oh,
so
yeah.
that made me laugh uncontrollably when I saw it. And my other amusing moment is towards the end of the movie, Joe is in his shootout with Slim, the lead henchman of Harry's gang. And at one point they're chasing each other through like a junkyard and stuff. And your buddy Hank's there too. And he's off to the side and laughing uncontrollably. And so Joe runs up to a bridge, kind of hides behind the concrete overpass, and Slim hides behind a chain link fence.
Yep.
Out in the open, like yep. just wily coyote. He stops where the pole of the fence ends.
Yep.
And he takes his name far too seriously. He's not that slim, yeah. but he is tucked behind it like Frank Drebin style all the way. And he shoots his gun and like, it's almost like he's trying to throw the bullets out of the gun.
Yeah.
And he ducks back behind the chain link pole, which, and you can see him. And at one point I swear they pan up to Frank Stallone and Frank's just looking down like, what in the hell are you doing, man? It's ridiculous.
Is this really going in the film?
And then he chases him up onto the bridge and they both exchange gunfire, but they're on the same side of the wall.
God.
I couldn't.
Movie magic, Bill. Movie
there's
magic.
More. Yeah. And there's more after that. That's amusing, but I'm going to stop right there. Cause I don't want to spoil it. For
yeah. They got to watch it. Like this is just the tip of the iceberg yeah, for
like
sure.
These are choices that I don't understand. This isn't money talking. Nope. Like, you know, it costs you nothing to hide behind a bigger piece of debris, but nope.
Nope. Oh,
so
man.
That was amazing. It was so damn funny.
Well, Bill, time to rate this thing.
Uh-huh.
And if this is for whatever reason anyone's first episode, you want to remind them what our system is?
Absolutely. We call this bit Five Nights for a Dollar. Used to be if you went back in the video store, there might be a rack or a stand or a group of movies, and they would say something like Five Nights for a Buck. You threw down your dollar, you could keep that movie anywhere from 1 to 5 nights. Didn't matter to the video store. All depended on how you liked it. And that's what our system is. It's not on any other movie you know. It's not even on any other movie in the series. It's just... you've put down your money, you've paid your buck, you went home, you got your VHS of Savage Harbor, you've watched it. How many of those five nights are you going to continue to keep this movie? What did it stir in you like a scream up from the streets of San Pedro that filled your soul with wanting to watch this movie again? Will you, or will you take it right back? What's it going to be? So how about you, Rob? How many nights are you going to keep Savage Harbor?
Well, Bill, I'm going to be honest with you.
I hope so.
Two nights. And you might think that's low, but as fun as this movie was, and as silly as it is, I don't think I could imagine myself watching it more than twice. And if I put myself in the shoes of, even if it's like last episode when we were talking with Leslie, right? Mm-hmm. If I watched this with my brother, maybe we'd keep it an extra night than like by myself or whatever. I feel like this is the sort of movie that's fun to watch, really funny to watch again with a group, but you want to almost return it to be like, I got to find another movie like this.
Nice.
So the silver lining to my two nights is that it's because I need to feed my Savage Harbor addiction to get another Savage Harbor-esque movie. How about you?
You know, of all the ratings we've done so far, that answer is one of my favorites from you. Because this is difficult. And I will say, if we were doing a star system, like if 5-star B movies, what would this be? This movie's a solid 4.5 of that kind of thing. You know, that's what it is. But this is, how many times would I watch it? And I think I'm in the ballpark of you.
Yeah.
If I'm honest, which we have to be, I would put this movie.
Yeah, I mean, we have to be honest, Bill.
I'm going to put this movie at 3.
Okay.
Because the timeline was so wacky and I had so much fun that I would want to cruise through it again.
Yeah.
And watch it again. I could do that. And then the third night, I honestly can't say whether I would watch it again, but I would keep it.
You want the option.
I want that option because this is one of those movies that, because of what it's great for, doesn't make it a great rewatch after rewatch after rewatch. Like you said, this is one of those movies that you watch, and then at some point you're going to come back to. You're going to be sitting around with your pals. You're like, "Hey, you want to watch something crazy? Let's watch this." And you'll put it on again. And that's what these movies, they really do fit into. That's what their purpose is. Is they're not a thing you down over and over and over again repeatedly. This is it's an impact. This movie's made a big enough impact on me that, yes, I would revisit it after those 5 nights at some point down the road, but not right away. It's fun to digest what you just saw. So solid 2, definitely would do run rewatch. It's too good for that. And then option for that third night, but it's definitely going to go back on day 4.
Gotcha. Gotcha, gotcha, gotcha.
And I'm going to do what you did, Rob. I'm going to be in there going, I need something like this. Uh-huh. Got anything else like this to see if I can keep that sweet, sweet high, just like Anne has, where she's riding high with my big crazy eyes and my nonsensical dialogue at the video store going, I need it, man. I need a bump of Frank Stallone.
Yeah. Yeah. I need that turtleneck, white turtleneck. Awesome. Well, Bill, this has been amazing. I'm so happy that we're doing this sibling rivalry show or series. And I'm so happy to almost unveil what my next series of films will be next episode, where we're supposedly going to have another special guest, 2 guests in one season, Bill.
We love guests. Yeah. We love guests. We love, because we love talking about this stuff. We talk to each other about it, and that's what prompted us to do this. And I'm kind of like everybody else out there is when Rob says he's got his new series, I want to hear what it is just as bad as you do. He does not tell me all this stuff before the next one. So,
and I'm telling you, Bill, I'm already excited about what your next series is going to be. You know, we're going to figure this out.
Yeah, I'm. Don't know for sure what I'm going to do. I won't say I'm going to try to top everything. I'm not going to be but I want something that's on
no
par
such thing
with the fun for my next one. So, but I'm glad I have yours to look forward to give me all that time.
Can I tell you something I want from Bill at a certain point? And this doesn't mean it has to be your next series, but I've done the franchise choices. I need a Bill franchise at some point in this excellent adventure journey.
I can do that,
but don't let that inform what your next one is. We've got plenty of months and plenty of patrons, so thank you, patrons. But But I do have to say, if you've made it this far and you love what Bill and I do, we do appreciate you, you know, much like the drug dealers on this movie, we would like you to use those powers for good and push this podcast on someone that you know could afford $5 a month. It would be great.
It would be. You are our stable of friends.
Yes.
Not our stable of anything else, but yeah, anything you can do to get the word out, we would appreciate it. And please, we love exchanging with you guys on Patreon. We like hearing what you're watching. And always be sure, the list of possibles is unending. If you got something to turn us on to, please do it. Rob and I are going to do this for as long as we can because we're just having fun talking about these movies. So please jump on there and let it know. And again, if you can spread the word of the show, it would mean a lot to us. We truly appreciate it, and we do appreciate your financial support.
And thank you, Rob Adler, for editing this episode and making us sound perfect.
Rob Adler is awesome.
Yes.
He very much is. I am so lucky to have so many awesome Robs.
Wow.
In my life.
Wow. I'm so happy to only have one Bill.
That's the only most people Bill. Most people would say one's enough, especially if it's me.
No. All right, Bill. Well, I'll see you next time where we conclude our sibling rivalry series.
All right. Sounds good, Rob. Remember, if you get near the harbor, stay savage.